Brooklands Radio believes your health matters.
So with me next is Paula Jarvis, another one of our brave ladies who's coming here to talk to us today about their journeys with a gynecological cancer. Good afternoon, Paula.
Good afternoon. Hello.
It's lovely to have you here today. Tell us a little bit about you, Paula. Tell us about your life. Tell us who Paula is.
Well, I'm 58. I've been an advertising copywriter all my life, and I'm freelancing now. I have two lovely daughters of 27 and 29. I live alone. I'm finally in my own home in Guildford again after going through quite a protracted divorce, which was finalised in 2017. There you go.
Oh, no, it's lovely to have you here today. Now, I know that your cancer was found after a sort of protracted period of time. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what happened there.
Yeah, it was over a long period of time. So I actually got a diagnosis of cervical cancer in May 2019, but it was back in June 2017 that I discovered I'd had my menopause and I was having postmenopausal bleeding, which was just spotting in the pants. Mm-hmm. You know, but I knew there's a lot of information out there that's not a good sign. So I immediately went to see my doctor, who booked me in for a smear test. And actually at the meeting, we discussed that, you know, I'm divorced, I'm not having sex. There's a lot of vaginal dryness, which I think at my age, women do.
Yes, quite, yeah.
So she gave me estrogen ointment that I had to put pessaries in for 2 weeks before the smear test.
Yeah.
So it became quite a saga preparing for the smear test.
Yes.
I did that, turned up for the smear test. It was uncomfortable, unpleasant, didn't enjoy it at all, but sort of glad to get it done. I went away, and then a few weeks later, I got a note home saying my smear test was inadequate and it would need to be repeated, but I couldn't have that done for another 3 months because the cervix had been disturbed. I mean, I just found it. I've had smear tests all my life and never had an inadequate smear.
Yes, yeah. So that's always a shock when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah. So finding the time to repeat that whole horrible experience was difficult. I was working full time, was trying to sell the marital home after divorce, but I was still getting postmenopausal bleeding. It did stop for a bit and then start again. So I was like, I need to get this sorted. Mm. So I finally went to have another smear test, repeated the whole process, 2 weeks of the pessaries, and then had the smear into August 2018. And then I got the same letter.
Oh.
Your smear was inadequate. Come back in 3 months' time. And I was just totally frustrated. But, you know, I had a lot going on in my life. And that my house was finally sold. I had to pack everything up, move into a rental flat. Eventually, and I was also commuting to London as a freelancer. So eventually, after I moved into the flat, I went to the doctors, and I thought, well, I'm not going to go through that whole process again. Yeah. And I was queued to see the receptionist, and I queued up. When I got to her, I said, I've had two inadequate smears. I've got postmenopausal bleeding. Are you going to give me another smear? And she said, oh well. Maybe the nurses got it wrong and the doctor who trains them could do it for you. And I thought, well, I actually said to her, well, can't you just send me to hospital and knock me out and take what you need? I really don't mind.
Yeah.
I like, obviously she's a bit embarrassed, poor woman, but I was just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so she booked me in to see the doctor, and I did again. I got some more pessaries, did the 2 weeks of pessaries. Went to see the doctor and got told, oh, you're in a 2 weeks emergency. We need to get you looked at urgently. It was finally, and that was in May 2019.
Wow. So how long had gone? 2 years had gone?
It was June 2017, so that's May 2019.
Yes.
What I think is, you know, I should have kicked up more of a fuss earlier on, but I was kind of going with the process. This seemed
yes.
to be what I did. And I had a lot going on in my life as well.
Yes, yeah.
You know, no, it's... if I'd, you know, obviously if I'd just religiously done 3 months in between, it still would have been 9 months before it was looked at. So.
And I guess it's with hindsight, it's easy to see what we should have done, but it's not so easy. As you say, at the time, you had an awful lot going on. Now, I know you've looked at the statistics around inconclusive smear tests. Can you tell us a little bit about the research that you've done there?
Well, I mean, the stats might be out of date. I'm not a researcher. Yeah. But what I did find online, because I've never had an inadequate smear before, it said that 10% of pap smears are inadequate. And then it's like, well, why? Why are they inadequate? It's nothing to do with the woman presenting herself. It can be that insufficient cervical cells are collected, or there's a gap between the cells being taken and them being kept as a sample, stored as a sample. But I don't know if that's changed. Again, I don't know if my research is out of date. And then it could be an obscured sample due to inflammatory cells, blood or mucus.
Right.
It's curious.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I know I've had ones before where they've said there's an abnormality and it needs checking again. This was a long time ago. But it does seem, especially if it's the case that they've hung on to it for too long.
Yes.
You know, that's
The thing was, it's like either you get a clear result or you get a result telling you've got cancer or, you know, that it needs to be looked into further. But there's this middle ground where it's inadequate. And you're kind of stuck in this, well, what do I do? And what does that mean? And I did also find that they're looking into the anxiety that this creates in women. Well, I'm here. What does that mean? Maybe I have got cancer, you know, because there's no confirmation that you haven't.
Yes.
And then I went twice and it was a real saga to get the smear done. And then you just go through this. It was, I just feel now.
No, it's not good at all. Oh, okay. So 2 years before you managed to push this and get it done, what happened after that?
So at that meeting on the 22nd of May, I went into the doctor expecting to have to go through another smear. And then she said, no, we're putting on 2 weeks referral. I'd never heard of 2 weeks referral before. But basically it meant that I had to be looked at urgently. Mm-hmm. I went to the hospital and was told I was going to have a colposcopy. Never heard of this before either, but I read the leaflet and, you know, sort of okay. But you go in and you go into this room. It's in the hospital, and there's sort of other women in the waiting room. And you go into this room and it's like a birthing chair. You sit there, your legs apart, and then you get tipped up so you can't see who's looking at what's happening.
Right.
I did have a nurse holding my hand and I must have squeezed her hand off. But basically they took a sample from me. And then sent me out. And I remember as I went, the doctor said, oh, we'll get back to you in 4 weeks' time. Mm. And having been through 2 weeks, I said, are you sure? Are you sure you can wait 4 weeks? And, you know, within a week, I was back in. And they'd been fitted me into, obviously, because I was on the 2 weeks emergency, it fitted me in to have a hysteroscopy, which was similar to a colposcopy, but more they were going to cut a sample away.
Right.
So, and I remember them lining up all these instruments and burning a candle or burns. They did something to hide the smell of burning flesh. Can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
It was horrible. But by this time, I was a bit robotic. Mm. It was like, just do it and find out what's going on. But before he did the hysteroscopy, he sat me down and said, you're gonna have to have a hysterectomy. That was a shock. It was like, what's happening? And I said, he said, we've got abnormalities. I said, well, what do you mean? Have I got cancer? He said, yes. That's the first time I'd heard that I had anything.
Yeah.
So I was in a bit of a daze when they did this. I was on my own. So I had to go and sit down and have a cup of tea afterwards because it was quite horrible, actually.
Yes.
I went home and I just thought, I don't know what's going on. So I rang the medical practice and said, can I come and speak to the doctor, please? So I went in to see her and said, I've been told I've got to have a hysterectomy. I don't know. How did I get here? Mm. And she sort of said, oh, well, you've probably got fibroids or fibromyalgia or something. You know, you'll have to have some sort of treatment. And I was like, still confused. I thought, well, why they tell me I have to have a hysterectomy? And then the next morning I got a phone call from the practice saying, could you come in and see the doctor, please? And by this time she'd read the notes and explained to me that, yes, I did have cancer. And So I can't remember exactly what went on in those meetings. Do you know, you have those medical meetings and your mind goes blank because you're so, you're so sort of confused
and upset and anxious. Yes, yes. I know a close family member had a journey with cancer, and he used to record the meetings with the doctors on his phone because all wanted to follow along and know what was happening. And it was the only way really that he could remember what was being said, because you're in such a heightened emotional state.
Yeah, I wish I'd done that actually. So then, I haven't got the exact date, but obviously very quickly, I was passed from the gynecology team, which is where they do the hysteroscopy, over to oncology, which is where, you've got cancer. And I had a meeting with them on the 5th of June. And luckily, I took my eldest daughter with me, Olivia, and she sat there, and basically she took in what they said, and I just sat there in the daze. And they told me I had curative cancer, and it was had a basaloid squamous carcinoma. All these words thrown at me.
Yeah.
And I'd either be doing a hysterectomy or I'd have chemo radiotherapy, which was again a shock. It's a shock taking it all in.
Yes.
And they would let me know their decision on the 12th of July. Which happened to be the day I'd finally sold the marital home, found somewhere to live, and I was moving into the new home on that day. So I sat outside the house waiting for the people to move out for me to move in, and got a call from the McMillan nurse: you'll be having chemo radiotherapy, and that's 6 weeks of treatment at the hospital. You need to go there every day. It was like, and then it was going to start on the 30th of July, and then they pulled it forward to the 23rd of July.
Wow.
So that was
fast forwarding to after all that treatment happened. How did you feel
now, or
sort of as it finished? How were you feeling after the end of all that?
I was bloated. I was tired. I was neutropenic, so my white blood cell count was at 0.5.
Wow.
So they told me to basically stay away from, I couldn't go swimming. I had to stay at home because if I caught a cold, I wouldn't fight it very well.
Yeah.
I was just exhausted, to be honest. But I'm also a doer, and I was like, right, okay, treatment's over, I've got to get back to work. But luckily one of my sisters is a nurse, and she said, Paula, she's my oldest sister as well, and she's like, my parents have died. So she said, no, you must stay at home and rest, you need to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after the treatment, you don't realise that treatment's not over, you need 3 months of recovery. Because it's exhausted you.
Yes, and getting your whole immune system back to functioning.
But I'm feeling there now.
good. So you feel a lot better. You've recovered.
I'm still recovering. There are still side effects, but I'm learning to cope with them. After the treatment's over, I'm a big reader, so I've like got all the books on cancer I could get and read, novels or stories that people have written of their experiences. I wanted to know how other people had coped with it.
Yeah.
But now I feel like, get on my feet. It does change you though, cancer. I think I've got another check. I've got checks for every 3 months of the first year, and then I'm going to be checked for 5 years, which is good because if I get cancer somewhere else, hopefully they'll pick that up.
That's
you never know.
No, never know.
Every moment.
Yeah, but your future's looking lovely and bright.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for our listeners, what advice would you give to them if they suddenly notice something, or what should they look out for?
Well, when I look back, I think I should have pushed for a smear. The smears aren't working. Mm-hmm. I need some other way, which I finally did in reception to the receptionist. But I think that if you feel that you've got something wrong and it's not being looked at properly, then shout about it, make a fuss, because it could save your life. If I hadn't stamped my foot and carry on having smears, I think eventually, I've been reading, after the third inadequate smear, then they would send you for a colposcopy, but I didn't know that.
No, I think you're right, and I know again from my family member that the doctors are so stretched, their time, that they can't focus well enough on patients in a GP surgery. And I think sometimes you do have to make a fuss to be able to move on.
The headlines, you know, through the whole debate, it's NHS needs more money, it's overworked, you know, those are the headlines we read. And so that's the impression we get. So you feel, I'll just, this is all they can do for me at the moment. But I think you need to be more assertive and,
I think you're right. Well, Paula, thank you so much for talking to us today. I'm sure there's lots of people out there who are going to hear the words of wisdom from all the ladies we're interviewing as part of this series. And I'm sure it's going to make a difference to at least some people, which is fantastic.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was Paula Jarvis talking to us today about her journey with cervical cancer.
Brooklyn's Radio believes your health matters.